Welcome to the regular meeting of the Kissimmee Utility Authority for January. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag.
United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll start with the awards and presentations, and we're moving the first item, number one, to number eight, because we know some of our children are waiting till they come in to do that. So Jim, can I join you for awards?
I guess number one is a 10-year service award at Casey Cavalcante. Casey is not attending. She won't be here tonight. But we do have Janae Tracy. Janae, where are you at? There you are.
Janae Tracy, she's your service 15 years. She initially started as a part-time customer service representative, and she's currently a customer service representative too. Congratulations, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Janae, sorry.
Decade and a half. That's all goes by quick, doesn't it? And Dale, where are you at, buddy? Oh, there you are, huh?
Dale Swagger, service anniversary, 20 years. He initially started as a fleet service mechanic, and he's currently a fleet service mechanic 3. Congratulations, Dale.
Two decades. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And I'd like to Khalib Day. Khalib?
They're not here.
He's not going to make it today. There he is. Here you are. How you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, Khalib's here for a very special award, and that's if anybody is named Employee of the Month in any organization, it's a great honor. But at KUA, it's, I think, a very special honor because our Employees of the Month are chosen by their fellow employees. So I think that's really says something. But I'd like to read something that some of your fellow employees have said about you. Earlier this year, while on his way to complete a service order, Khalib Dave and another employee were flagged down by a resident of the Outrigger Apartments. The resident stated that a vehicle had fallen on a man while he was working on it. They immediately ran over and helped to administer first aid. The actions of both employees speak for themselves. They selflessly put the needs of another before their own, and we're proud to have them on a KUA team. The other KUA employee was recently selected as Employee of the Month for December. Therefore, we'd like to present Khalib Day with this honor as Employee of the Month for January 2019. Now, were you the one that lifted that vehicle off of him, or was the other guy?
He's a little bigger than I am back there.
Did you actually had to lift the vehicle off
the corner of the vehicle?
Yesterday. Yeah, that's something. That's something. Yeah. And how's the guy doing?
Pretty sure. Might need to stop by and check on him.
But he's doing all right, huh?
Last time we checked.
Yeah, I bet he was glad when you came by. Well, look, I can't think of any employee more deserving this month to represent all our employees, because you represent what all our employees do a whole lot of times. And that's what Employees of the Month are for, to represent their fellow employees. And I'd like to introduce you to our board, and beginning with the chairman of our board, Jeannie Van Meer.
Hey, Caleb. Wonderful trophy to remember. Mom, and thank you for everything you do.
And Ethel, Director Ethel Urbina.
Congratulations. Hey, enjoy it.
And Director Manny Ortega.
Sure. You could exchange it.
Director Kathleen Thacker.
We have another one, huh? Congratulations. Thank you. And a little money.
And Director Ray Hempel.
Congratulations. Here's something from the Osceola County Historical Society. And a parking space for a month. A special parking space.
And somebody very special, a board member of ours, who also happens to have another job as mayor of the city of Kissimmee, and just a recently announced candidate for the county commission, Mayor Jose Alvarez.
Nice to meet you, sir. Here's a little something from Osceola Arts. Right. Enjoy. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Nice job.
Employee of the Year, Jeff Seisler.
Yeah, that's right. Jeff, can you please come forward? And most of the board was at the annual family gathering that we had out at Hangar 38 at the airport, and where Jeff learned for the first time that he had been selected Employee of the Year.
Yes.
And again, very, very special honor, and I think it's something that... especially since you were selected again by your fellow employees for that honor. And it's really great. Jeff's been a very long-standing employee in our engineering department who has contributed immensely to the benefit of all our customers. And I thank you from them to you for that. And I'd like you to be greeted by our board, beginning with our chairperson, Jeannie Van Meter.
Yes, I'm over here. Congratulations, thank and you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Ethel.
Thank you.
Take your 2 days off with Bay.
Thank you.
It's your parking space. I think you could park in Jim's spot.
Yeah, there you go. He wants anyhow. Kathleen Thacker.
Thank you.
Congratulations, thank and you. Thanks for your service.
And Ray Hempel.
Congratulations.
Jeff, nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
Our mayor, nice Mayor Alvarez. All right,
brother.
By the way, Jim spots anywhere he can get. We don't have special spots around here for people, do we? As a rule, except for our Employee of the Year and Employee of the Month.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
We'll go with what we have. Okay, this is going to be the awards for the electrical safety calendar. It's really good, by the way. Every one of you. I went through here. I'm so impressed with every picture. So congratulations.
Do we have extra calendars for anybody in the audience that wants them?
We have a few, but we have a ton of them downstairs. So
okay.
So we stop can get all you want. Well, today we are recognizing 12 student artists, now published artists, the winners of our 25th annual student art contest. Open to students in kindergarten through sixth grade, KUA's annual calendar project is designed to promote electrical safety among students and their families. Contact with electricity is one of the leading causes of injury and death for children in the United States. So we developed these calendars as a way to promote safety awareness among our customers. This year, a total of 1,201 entries were received from 25 Osceola County elementary schools. A panel of judges made up of community leaders met in late November, reviewed the art, and selected 12 entries, one for each calendar month, which are featured in our 2019 calendar of electrical safety. So this time, if I could have the board members come and go here into the center, because we're going to take a group photo at the end, but you'll be trapped. You won't be able to get in there. And then we'll announce the names of the winners, and then we ask each student if you could come forward, receive your plaque, and then remain in the front for a group photo. And parents, feel free to take as many pictures as you'd like.
And parents, I know you're proud of each of your children, because if you weren't, you would never be proud of them than this moment. This is really something.
Our December featured artist is fifth grader Miguel Fajardo from Sunshine State Elite Academy.
Congratulations, Miguel.
And each of their plaques has their art at the top.
Thank you.
We'll have you all the way
Our November featured artist is Yanelis Burgos, a fifth grader at Life Christian Academy. Our October featured artist is sixth grader Katie Bowie from Holy Redeemer Catholic School. Our September featured artist is Samantha Consuegra, a fourth grader at Ventura Elementary. Yeah, she was unable. Our next is our August featured artist is sixth grader Leah Buyan from Holy Redeemer Catholic School. Our July featured artist is Andrea Bedoya, a fifth grader at Kissimmee Charter Academy. Our June featured artist is fifth grader Christina Wu from Bella Lago Academy. Our May featured artist is Gabriel Barrero, a fifth grader at Renaissance Charter School at Boggy Creek. Our featured artist is fifth grader Nahila Ghani from St. Cloud Preparatory Academy. Our March featured artist is Diana Rangel, a fifth grader at First United Methodist School in Kissimmee. Our February featured artist is second grader Laurenis Castro of PM Wells Charter Academy. And finally, our January featured artist and calendar cover is this year's grand prize winner, third grader Diego Alejandro Gutierrez Ochoa of Highlands Elementary.
Hey, Diego. Congratulations.
Help us congratulate our 2019 winners.
Congratulations to all of you. Yes.
This year we celebrate 25 years of this contest, so you're the quarter century winners also, so congratulations, quite a landmark. And this event was the brainchild of this gentleman right here. He created it 25 years ago, and it's really been good for a whole lot for the last 25 years. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, we're going to go to hear the audience at this time. If everybody would like, anybody would like to leave, you may leave.
Well, there we go, the room.
And if you're part of the audience that wants to speak, you may stay.
Come on.
Manny, get back here.
Yeah, not you, Manny. Get back.
Now the pictures are over, he's leaving, huh?
He must know one of the parents or
managed
people. That was for Caleb as well. That cylinder right there was for Caleb.
Caleb for the employee. What is it? Where is he?
He left already. I can give it to Susan if you want. Do you want me to give it to Susan to get them? Speak to it later.
Well, is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay. Well, we'll try to find a good time to do that. It's the dartboard.
Hey, did you want to come speak? Go to the microphone. Okay.
When you have to be careful.
Okay.
The one past me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you all.
It's not livable and they need the space.
Really make it.
Thank you. One more picture and then we have to get on with business. We're proud of them too. We understand. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, on with the meeting. Hear the audience. Is there anyone that needs to speak to us today? If not, we'll go to the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. And I want to announce that Larry Berry is in the audience today, and he's the new what?
General manager.
I didn't know what your title was, but general manager. I thought maybe it was cowboy boss or something like that. Would you like to say something to us?
I do. How do you follow a bunch of kids? That's really hard to do. So, thank you for allowing me to come here and speak before you today. As you know, the Osceola County Fair is quite a fair. It's been 75 years. This is our 75th anniversary for the fair this year. Last year, we had about 96,000 guests in attendance to the fair during the 10 days. This year, our goal is to exceed 100,000. And we really think we can do that. We've got a great entertainment lineup and, of course, the carnival. And who doesn't like elephant ears and all the things that go along with the food at a carnival? So we're excited about it and appreciate the opportunity to come before you today and request sponsorship of the Osceola County Fair. We are the only true, by the way, only true county fair in Central Florida as far as agriculture, livestock, and the carnival and the other entertainment events. So it's really doing well, and we've been able to increase attendance year after year. And this next year, we have a good goal ahead of us for exceeding the 100,000 mark, and we're excited about it.
Well, welcome to the job, and
thank you.
We're glad to hear from you, and I know I'll be out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we go to F, which is public hearing, the tariff changes.
Yes, this is a public hearing on our solar rate and miscellaneous tariffs that we have developed because of the community solar that we bought into to sell to customers that wanted solar energy. And our Vice President of Power Supply, Larry Mattern, will be making the presentation to the public.
Well, good evening, everyone from the public and board. This is the same presentation we've been giving, and now it's for the public. Okay, the community solar rate. This is exactly what we'll be sending to the Public Service Commission. It gives the possibility of going 25, 50, 75, or 100% of a house covered with what we offer. This portion.
Larry, just a minute, there's some people in the audience. Was that slow enough that you would be able to read that so that you understood it? Shall we back it up just a little bit? So
yes.
Let's back it up just a little bit. It's reader and I couldn't read it, so
on. Okay.
When you go through it a little bit, just explain it.
Yeah, explain it, because we have some people in the audience that are here for that. So.
Okay, here we go. Okay, to give you a background on our solar, what we've done is went to a 75-megawatt solar farm, and we're buying this at a wholesale rate. If you the difference between what this would cost and putting on a rooftop is about 2.1 cent different than what you put it on your rooftop. So we've made a rate so that you can, if you choose to buy this and add this, put this on your bill, then this is what we're sending to the Public Service Commission to say this is the method that you'll be charged for if you ask your house to be 25% solar, 50, 75, or 100. Now, we won't put solar panels on your roof. We have, to get this price, we have a very large solar farm that's going to be sitting in Osceola County near Cannonsville. And from there, it'll be brought into the system, but we'll give you the credit for the solar. Are there any questions on this page? Now, what this is leading up to, what I have here in the blue is how we would charge you for the solar. So we have a solar energy surcharge, which I'll show you in the next slide. I'll show you how we come to that surcharge, times your consumption. So whatever kilowatt hours you use that's on your bill through the month, we'll have that times the surcharge, and then plus the percent of the prescription. So if it's, you know, the 25, 50, 75, or 100, and that would be what your bill would be. And then we have special provisions. If you've had issues of paying the bills, you wouldn't be eligible. And also, if you enroll and then stop, then you can't get back in for another year. Questions on this page? All right, here's the calculation. We're able to buy this solar energy at 4 cents a kilowatt hour. Now, that was almost unheard of a couple years ago. And we're buying it as a purchase power agreement. We're not able to get a tax break because we're tax exempt. So we're buying this from a company that's selling us. We're purchasing the power from them, and that enables us to get the rate down this low, so at 4 cents. Now, what we pay for our energy now, that between burning natural gas and coal and our different supply of energy we have today, our energy cost is 2.6 cents. So the solar still is more expensive. It's not quite the difference it was before when it was 8 and 10 cents, but there's still a differential between it. But that's today, and that's today's fuel prices. So what we've done, we subtracted one from the other, and that's 1.4 cents. So the solar surcharge, as I showed you back on the other slide, it would be solar surcharge times the amount you use times what percent you choose to have that added on your house. That would be the cost. So the solar surcharge here today is 1.4 cents. Now, if natural gas would become higher priced and be higher than that when you do it, then you would be at even a better price. You'd be at a fixed price. Now, if you entered into this agreement, we have an agreement for 20 years with the supplier. You could get in the agreement, stay in for 20 years, and your rate would be based on that surcharge rate. If you do the surcharge and the one number below would be a higher number, if our energy from natural gas would be higher, then you're better off with that program. Today, that's not the case. It would be 1.4 cents more. Is there any questions on any of that? Yes, sir.
Who's the company you're purchasing this from?
NextEra, which is the parent company of Florida Power and Light.
And they're building the solar plants?
Yes, they are. And since they're a private company, they can get the 30% tax break. So that's how they're able to get the rate down that low.
And does the percent of 1.4 percent of the average
number,
so you go for 20 years, is that fixed price? Or does that fluctuate
with the fuel? The 4 cents, let me go back here if this goes back. So your top line, that line that says the 4 cents, that's going to stay. That's a fixed. That's our contract, and that's with our carrying costs. That's our contract with it for 20 years. Now, the line below that could change because we don't have fixed natural gas prices or fixed coal prices. So in that particular line, that's the one that could change. And if it goes lower, then, yes, the differential would be more than 1.46. If right now we're at historic lows, not to say that natural gas couldn't go lower, but these are historic lows, and this is based on an average of the last few years. So it's been staying around that average. Probably right now it would, if you went on a monthly basis, it's actually a little higher than the 0.26, because natural gas prices were a little higher last month because winter's coming, they burn natural gas in the north. Top number stays the same, bottom number can change. So the risk of you getting into a problem is slight. It's 2 cents risk going down, and it's to your benefit if it goes higher of the second line. Any questions? Yes.
You're hiring that rate at 4 cents, and compared to the ARP energy rate, you're eventually getting a 1.4 cents surcharge.
Yes.
So that could eventually disappear if the ARP rate.
Yes.
And I think I saw before that you can get into a contract, but then cancel that contract.
Yes.
But shouldn't you get like a fixed time period to preserve that 4 cents
That's not in the tariff. The tariff itself serves as that contract in a sense. In fact, we just had that conversation today in finance, whether it would be a written contract, and the tariff is your covenant between you and your power company. So if, according to what the rules are, if you join, then you're in as long as we have that available.
And we've got a 20-year contract. So
we have a 20-year contract.
So that 4 cents would be the set price for 20 years?
Yes.
Okay.
And that contract also has an extension possibility at the end of 20, could possibly go 30 years. That's in the contract that we have with NextEra. It says we can go an additional 10 years if we choose to at the end of the 20.
That can benefit from the fixed rate as long as you get into a longer contract. But if you can move in and out of that contract, I mean, there's going to be an arbitrage for me getting into buying solar energy only when it's cheaper. That's the way I'm seeing it. I don't know if it's.
I think once you get out, you have to wait to get back.
You have to wait 1 year. So you can't jump in,
in and out
monthly. There is a 1 year period in between.
If it's available.
That's what I was going to say. It has to be available. Other people may have already gotten in and used it all up.
There's a limited subscription amount. And then once that 100% has been subscribed to, nobody else can subscribe.
Sir?
Will KUA provide an opportunity for people who are interested in this? Sit down one-on-one and review their current power usage and see what the difference would be?
Yes, we do that. We would do that right now even without solar. We have programs where they've come to your home for energy audits, and also we've spoke to people before if you come into our customer service and explain how things work.
I think you'll find we're easy to work with, and we're doing this for you, not against you. This is for our customers more than anything. So. Larry, is there any other, can we go forward now with the presentation?
Any other questions on any of these slides? The next thing, while we're going to the Public Service Commission, this doesn't have to do with the solar. The other changes that we're doing to our tariffs over there is we're putting automatic metering in over the next couple of years. And during that time, there may be those who do not want to be part of that. And we've come with, well, if you don't want to be part of it, there'll be a charge because the automatic metering doesn't require us to send people out and have a separate billing, and it would. So we said if you're not going to be part of the automatic metering system, then you would need to pay us $15 to opt out. And we would do that as long as, and it said we would install the other until our old inventory runs out, and then there'd be a $100 charge. Any questions on that? This is completely separate from the. This is automatic metering, and this is only a piece of the automatic metering if you don't want to be in. Okay, that's what I was talking about. If we're going to put automatic meters in, well, if you say, well, wait a second, I don't want it, say, okay, here we'll come out and we'll bring you one of the old meters because we have meters right now to back up our meters in our inventory. So we'd put that in. Well, if enough people said or enough of the meters went bad and we swapped out, then we said, well, listen, we don't have any more in inventory. If you want me to put that meter in now, if you've changed your mind and don't want an automatic meter, you're going to have to pay $100 because we have to go buy one. And we're not going to ask the other customers to pay for that. So any other questions on that? Any questions on that one? And last, this is housekeeping. We joined an all requirements project, and when we joined at some of these time of use and for large demand customers and others, it doesn't actually happen in our service territory. So, to just put the language, and And just for that customer class, we're taking that, putting, adding this language saying that this is no longer in there, that this is not a rate. So this is just a housekeeping on the tariff. Are there questions on that? Anyone? And for you as one here, you get to see our rate change calendar that's been going on. So this is, so on November 7th is when we first brought this up. And the 5th, we brought the recommendation. We've set to advertise for you folks to see. We're having the public hearing right now. And if there's no objection here and our board accepts it, then this rate change will take effect February 1st. And are there any questions or any objections? So since I hear no objections from the audience, the board, this is the recommendation that that we give to you, members of the board.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Is it possible that KUA could have a third alternative or a second solar alternative to let individual homeowners go in on their own?
Well, that's always available, is it not, Larry?
You rooftop solar on your own now.
After this goes in, they can always put their own.
You can still put, this does not eliminate you putting your own solar on rooftop, if that's the question.
If you do that, would there be a kind of meter that would meter energy coming back into the system?
Yes.
And at what rate would you let that power come back out to the homeowner?
We charge avoided cost plus a rider on top of that additional rider to you if you have the solar system that covers our, that eliminates some, since that solar helps some of our peak load, then there's an addition put on that. The exact number, how the addition would be, according to that, we could sit down and show you, and we have our finance folks here. And again, you're welcome to come in any of our business hours and what if it can't be answered downstairs with that, they'll bring in the departments to even drill down if you want additional information.
Right. I think as long as that's personal to you, that would be the appropriate way of doing it if you have questions, just to make an appointment and come in. And thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
I think now we will turn it over to us and discuss the tariff changes. I need motions.
Motion to accept the recommendation by Larry.
Is there a second? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Okay. Now, we have nothing down until engineering semi-annual report, and I think Brian is going to do that for us. Brian Horton.
Good afternoon, directors. Hope everyone had a wonderful holiday break. Kevin's been talking about to y'all about how capital intensive we've been over the last years, and he's correct. We have been making some significant improvements throughout the system, and I want to highlight some of the projects that we had going on in 2018. This first project is the airport substation upgrades. This past year, we replaced the remaining 8 oil circuit breakers at that substation. Those breakers were 35 years old and had reached the end of their useful life. At the same time, while we were there, we changed out the system protection in the substation to give us some additional functionality and monitoring capabilities. We finished that project in May of this past year. We talked about this at that one of the previous semi-annual reports, but our planning study showed the need for additional capacity in the northeastern portion of our service territory. So last year, we extended 2 new feeders out of our employee station. They run about 3 miles northeast towards Boggy Creek Road. A portion of the line runs under East Lake Toho. I've got some pictures here that show the construction. Actually, our project manager is Matt Mason back over there. Matt, raise your hand so people can see you. He was over this project. You've got the boring rig, and that upper left picture, that's a conduit being installed under the lake. Over to the upper right, we've got some of our contract crews pulling in the cable there. Those facilities were energized in August of last year, and we've got about 2,400 customers on those lines now, including the new Toho High School. Another project is Lake Cecile substation expansion. Our planning study also showed the need for additional capacity in the northwestern portion of our service territory. So we essentially went out and built a half a substation there to address that need. What was special about this is we were able to avoid some significant costs by repurposing some equipment at the old Hansel substation that we decommissioned. We were able to utilize one of the transformers that saved us about $700,000-$800,000 there. We energized, there are four distribution feeders that come out of that new bank. Two of the feeders are live and are carrying about 7,500 customers. We energized that back in July. There are a few punch list items remaining on this project, but I think we will have those resolved and be able to close out this project later this month. Okay. Domingo Toro substation is moving along. I know Chris has done some aerials and put some of that stuff out on social media. This project, we've bumped into some obstacles. It hasn't been the easiest of jobs, but we are still optimistic that we will be able to have this substation energized by the end of the second quarter of this year. You may recall that this project was on an accelerated schedule to try to meet the power needs of a potential customer out there at the NEO City Development Site. When that didn't materialize, we made the decision to decelerate to realize some savings on the project. And it's a good thing we did because we bumped into some significant issues with the site. It was holding water and we had some drainage issues. So we had to work through those issues. And now we can begin construction. We've got foundations down, the fences up. Actually, this next picture will show what the site looked like last month. The transformer was sat on one of the pads yesterday. It'll have three transformers out there, but we're moving along and we should be able to meet that schedule by the May. Along the same sort of lines, we'll probably be having the dedication sometime in the May-June time frame. Executive is working on setting that up, so you guys will get notification as when we plan on doing that. Line extensions, which is how we fund our line operations department. We spent about $7.9 million in external line extensions last fiscal year. That's about $3 million more than the originally approved budget. That was due to higher than anticipated development activities last year. That's why we came back to the board in June and asked for additional funding. We executed 104 new line extension contracts last year, and those were for large developments like Story Lakes over here, Kindred, and Tahoqua, out off of Neptune. So we had some big contracts there. We spent about $3.4 in internal line extension project. That's how we fund our maintenance activities and smaller reliability projects. One of them being our aged underground cable replacement. 3 years ago, we started initiative to take a more aggressive approach to replacing aged underground cable because we were seeing a rise and the number of faults associated with failed cable on our system. This shows the progress that we've made. The chart on the left shows where we were when we began. The facilities shown in red and orange represent facilities that were installed in 1980 or earlier. We've all but eliminated it in the chart on the right. So our line operations and engineering folks have been doing a really good job there cleaning that up. Our annual goal, you may recall from the strategic planning process, is to replace about 40,000 feet a year. They replaced about 65,000 this year. Okay. And between the aged underground cable, some of the reliability projects that we've done and some of the operational changes we've made, we're starting to see some positive results. And I've got a few slides to kind of highlight that. Since 2016, we've seen a 67% drop in the number of outages as a result of cable failures. That we were at 24 and now we're at 8. Along the same lines, our sustained outages have dropped 19% over that same period of time. 2016, we had 432 sustained outages. This past year, we were down to 349. We've also improved our repair time. It's dropped 9% since 2016, equating to about 8-9 minute improvement in the time we restore power from the moment, you know, from the moment we become aware to the time customers have power back. And we were able to do this because we increased our coverage in the service territory. We implemented a nights and weekend shift to make sure that folks are in the service area and can respond quicker. And as you can see, it's having some positive benefits. So with that, I'll take any questions that y'all may have.
Are there any questions?
No, we get those emails when the outage go out, and I'm impressed with from the time that it gets reported to the time it actually gets fixed up. It's impressive, and we can see where they're heading in the right direction. I think another thing that probably contributes to everything going down, I think we have less, the squirrel population is starting to decrease.
With the development, some of the trees are going away, but it also creates other issues. If you drive along King's Highway at dusk or dawn, you'll see birds congregating on the line that have caused us some challenges here late that we're dealing with.
So. Well, I want to thank you for strengthening Lind Avenue, because there's three of us that, including you, that are on that line, and it's getting better.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. It's not really kosher to do this, but what would you like?
I was just wondering if you have any data that explains the difference between outages on buried cable and outages on non-buried lines
that
are up in the air.
So we keep a daily operations log. So we've got all that historical data. I can tell you what it's going to show. There will be a lot more outages on overhead facilities because they're exposed to the elements than there will be in underground. But when you have a fault on underground cable, it's going to take us a lot longer to repair that, because we've got to find it, we've got to dig it up, and that just takes more time. Most of our outages on the distribution are going to be on the overhead. And if you'd like some specific data, I can chat with you.
What causes an outage in a buried cable?
It could be a car versus pole hitting a pole where our facilities go underground. They can hit someone can hit a transformer cable, aged old cable can fail. Those are the type of things that would cause an outage. A tree falling, the root system hitting our conduit, that could cause an underground cable failure.
Lining.
Yeah, flooding. There are a host of reasons.
Is there an option available to convert from overhead wires to buried cable?
Both the city and the county have requirements for new development. Most of our system is underground. Some 67-68% of it's underground, but all new development within the county goes underground. Now, we may have some express overhead lines that run from the substation where the power is to the development, but most of the new stuff is underground. And
overheads put underground.
Lots of money.
Yeah,
we got to get
lots of money.
But if a couple slides ago, I talked about our internal line extensions projects. When we see that we're having trouble with certain parts of the system, that's how we fund those projects, and we do it as we continue to have problems. We'll go ahead and put those facilities underground where it makes fiscal sense, and we're able to do so. You have to have a lot more land to place facilities underground, right? You've got to have easements. It's a wider easement that you've got to have.
Okay, very good. Anything else? Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay, we're to hear our attorney.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, Madam Chair, and to you board members. I don't have anything specific, except I do have a little sunshine law update. Recent press reports in the local media have piqued my interest in terms of complying with sunshine and allowing members of the public a reasonable opportunity to comment for or against matters that are before the board. And the reason that came up is that the decision made by a local agency during, it was not on the agenda, it was made during the member comment portion, and that was challenged. And one of the bases of the challenge was that members of the public did not have an opportunity to comment. I'm thankful that we have Resolution 12-02, which provides members of the public the right to comment on any relevant matter that the board is considering. Case in point was tonight, right now. That was excellent exchange with our customer. So I feel good about that. There are going to be times, and they've happened periodically in my tenure here, when something may come up between the time the agenda goes out and we meet as a board, and you meet as a board. Sometimes they come up at a board meeting, and the board has to make a decision. Sometimes they come up based on someone from the audience saying, would you do something about X, Y, and Z? And the courts in our state have said that's okay, as long as the public at the meeting has a reasonable opportunity to participate. The Attorney General has issued an opinion that for matters that are very controversial, that the public really wants an opportunity to vet and look at before a decision is made, that's probably wise to make sure that's on an agenda before action's taken. And other than that, unless you have any questions.
Can I ask you,
yes,
like,
ma'am,
if something comes up at a board meeting that we know it's going to be a little bit more than just 5 or 10 minutes, that we can then ask for it to be put on the agenda and inform the public that it will be on the agenda at a later time?
Yes, absolutely. The board can always say, you can discuss the matter, but the board can say this has a lot of community interest, and in the interests of fully vetting this before the community, we will entertain this at the next regular meeting for action, or you could even call a special meeting if that's what the board wants to do. Okay. For things that are controversial and
right,
have a lot of community interest on them.
Very good.
Thank you.
Our general manager, Jim.
Well, you have in front of you your reminders, but what doesn't show up there is that at the April meeting, you have scheduled on your normal calendar the preliminary budget and strategic planning meeting presentation. I recommend that we keep the preliminary budget for budgeting purposes in the budget calendar at the April meeting. But I would also recommend that we have the strategic planning for the coming year be overseen and presented to the board by your new permanent CEO. And to facilitate that, rather than keeping it in April, suggest that we alter the calendar to have the strategic planning portion move to the May meeting.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Does everybody agree with that?
Proceed with that.
What? Is there consensus that be done?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then we will do that then.
And that's all I have, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you. Mayor, do you have something to
nothing
to share with us? Ray?
No.
Okay. Kathleen?
I do. When I looked at our agenda and we weren't talking about our CEO replacement schedule going forward, and I know I'm making appointments and reservations and what have you for February, and if we're doing all that then, I felt a need to have some projection of what we needed to do. So I called Carl Mykoff, and he has most of the applications gathered, he thinks, and he's going to set up telephone interviews. And at that point, he'll whittle it down, and he'll send the resumes to us. on January 21st. Now, by January the 28th is the projected date of when we have to have... We as a group have to whittle it down to who we want to go further with to interview.
Like three, probably just three.
However many. Okay. He is going to be in Orlando on January 21st and 22nd. So if we could schedule a meeting for January 23rd, he's already here, and we could take that group of resumes and sit as a board and whittle it down to who we want to go on with interviews. So question one would be, can we all do that on January 23rd?
What is the day?
It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
And then it goes from there. In his little write-up he gave us, he had for the week of February the 11th, that whole week was for interviewing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure all of us can't set aside a whole week for interviewing, so I started trying to find out how many days do we need for interviewing, what are we talking about here. So he feels we need 2, possibly 3 days to interview, and then a third time to sit down and as a board go through our opinion of the interviews and come up with a candidate. So if we could meet February the 11th and 12th to do interviewing, and then the 13th to boil it down to come up with our final candidate, then that next week we would be in contract negotiation with our final candidate, the week of the 18th, and we would need a meeting February 21st to finalize our decision if we're to get this done before Washington comes up. So I didn't know what to do but to kind of talk him. He doesn't seem to register.
He gave us an overview of what the timeline
was.
But not specifics.
And he didn't include the fact that we're going to be out of town on the date that he had things finalized. So... And he also didn't seem to register that we have to notify the public that we're doing this and set a meeting on our calendar. So if we can go with those dates, he's okay with them. If we can't, I asked him if he would be available on his cell phone so we could call him and shift stuff around or whatever.
Okay. Is there any way to put a calendar, the February calendar, on?
Put Outlook up there if you would for February.
I guess January 1st is. First of all, can we meet on the 23rd, Wednesday,
Sunday?
I can.
Okay. January the 23rd. January the 23rd.
Oh, you have them there.
And the reason for that date is because he's already in Florida.
Would this be a daytime meeting or
the children's calendar, which is
Yes, that's a very good idea. We have it right in front of us. We have the best team in the world here.
They can keep us on task.
It would be the first meeting?
January 23rd.
No, that would be actually no, because Carl's coming the 21st. He'll be here for 3 days, 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
No, he's going to send us the resumes.
On the 21st, okay.
So we have the 21st and the 22nd
to
look at the resumes before we sit down to discuss them on the 23rd.
What time on the 23rd?
Saturday?
No, it's January.
January 23rd.
That's what I was doing.
I didn't get to times. So I know he's in town, so...
If he's here, he's not doing anything else in town.
Well, Wednesday morning would be the best for me. I don't know if anybody else is Wednesday morning good or not.
It's going to have to be early because I have 4 meetings on that day.
One of them is at noontime.
8 o'clock, 8:30?
8 o'clock will be perfect.
Yeah, but how long do we
Madam Chairperson, you have a noontime meeting at that day, too.
I have a what?
A noontime meeting?
Yes, I knew I had something. I'm just trying to think of what it was.
I mean, that's one of the ones that we have at 12 o'clock. That's the leaders.
The leaders. I knew it. 23rd.
Right at 24th.
He won't be.
No, he'd have to stay over a day just for that meeting. So
can we do 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock?
Can we do 3 o'clock that day?
Yep,
fine with me.
Because I have open 3 to 5.
That'd be perfect.
3 p.m. on
January 23rd.
And will we need to, we will need to meet him with him on the 21st?
No, no. He's sending us the resumes.
But we need to meet.
No, no.
We don't need to look at them.
He will give us all
individual people.
Yes.
In our homes, we will look at them.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You'll get them either by email or we can request that KUA deliver them to us, which is probably the best thing.
So we're on for 3 o'clock. The 23rd.
3 o'clock on the 23rd. Absolutely.
Okay, so then we come to the week of the 11th when we're doing the interviews. Can we just set up to do them the 11th and the 12th?
In February?
Yeah.
I'll be. I'm not going to be around. So I'm leaving the day after our meeting for 2 weeks. I'll be gone from the 7th to the 21st. Personal.
Well, we'll just have to do it because we this was something we had to do. We knew we had to do it.
But you can look at them and have some opinion.
Oh, yeah, no, that I'll do.
Or you can watch the interviews on TV.
You can call, we can film it. Why
don't you do it the week of the 4th?
Because people are being told and have been told that the week of the 11th is when it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
My call.
Yeah. You can't change it to the 4th.
It was in our preliminary thing.
About the 4th and 5th.
Okay. 11 and 12.
Well, one of the things you could do is find out how flexible these candidates are and accommodating.
I mean, if we're here, let's get this thing done so we could stay on schedule.
Yeah.
11 and 12.
Do we want to ask them about the 4th and the 5th, or do we want to do the 11th and 12th?
We do the 4th and 5th.
I'm fine with either one, so it doesn't really matter. February is pretty much open for me because this is what we have to do.
I have an appointment already scheduled on the 4th, or whatever day that was. No, the 5th.
Yep. Is it all day?
No, it's in the morning. I'd be done probably by noon.
12:30. So if it can happen on the 5th, great. If not, 11 and 12 is fine with me.
But we're still going to have a bunch of meetings when Manny's not here. All the rest of these meetings will be when he's not here.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And if that's what it is, that's what it is.
I'm good. The 11 and the 12.
Okay. Let's keep it at the 11th
and the 12th.
And Manny can phone in.
And the 13th would be our decision-making meeting. So why don't, if we...
So the 13th for me will have to be 12 on.
Let's do it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that way, if somebody hasn't had chance to get interviewed or whatever...
All 3 days at 3 o'clock?
No, well, I don't care when we do the 11th and the 12th. But I'm just thinking, if we've got the morning of the 13th, if something runs over... We've at least got a time in there.
I'm saying the 13, I'm at Metroplan board meeting until about 11:30, 12 o'clock.
So what o'clock?
Can we do it at
1 o'clock?
1 o'clock on the 13th. Do you want to do it at 2?
2 is better with me than 1. But.
Okay, 2 o'clock the 13th.
So the 13, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, can I ask when we're doing this? At this time, there will be fewer things to talk about because we need to give ourselves enough time. I mean, if we have to interview... 6 people, that's not going to work. So,
but we're interviewing the 11th and the 12th.
And the 13th is just a
discussion and final.
So what time are the interviews for the 11th and the 12th?
We don't know.
I would suggest you just start early and get as many in as you can.
I would say, why don't we start at 8:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning and then he can plug people in according to how long we need and what's happening. And I know you may have to leave. And
No. What I'm saying is, so the 11 and the 12, my secretary hasn't added anything in my calendar. If I put something now, she'll see it.
All day.
And then she just, so I can block the date.
Block the both days
11
out.
And 12, 8 to 5. And then we can work.
8 to 5.
But she won't plug anything in on those dates. So is that what we want
to
do?
Care.
9 to 5.
So 11 to 12. All day, just
9 to 5 on the 11th and 12th. And 2 o'clock on the 13th.
At 2 o'clock.
And then our final meeting.
At 2.
I suggest also that we just publish and state that we're going to have the meeting at 9 a.m. in the morning, and it'll end when you as a board want it to end. Mm-hmm.
And then the final one is on the 21st.
What about the 18th?
The 18th, that week is when contract negotiations go on, but
which
that won't involve the whole board.
Okay. And the 21st?
21st.
Of February is a Thursday?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm not that quick. What's the other day?
February 21st. And that will be just a shorter meeting to vote on the contract that's been negotiated and say howdy do to the new person.
Do you want to do morning?
I'd love to.
Morning's really good, I think.
What time?
Can we do 9 o'clock on the 21st?
Good for me.
Okay.
9 to what?
That shouldn't take but an hour and a half, I wouldn't think.
So let's plug in
just
2 hours.
9 to 12, just
let's
in
put
case.
9 to 12 just in case.
Okay.
Jim,
and if we finish earlier, I'd like to have an extra hour by myself.
Right. Jim, do you have something to say? Jim, do you have something to say?
I was just going to say, don't count on an hour when you're making your final decision.
No, that's what I meant.
There might be a lot of discussion.
Now, Jennifer, you have all this? Are you sure?
Well, let me state what we understand that the board has directed us to do is just call a meeting for January 23rd at 3 p.m. For selecting candidates to interview, and then have a meeting on February 11th and February 12th at 9 a.m. each day to interview candidates, and have a meeting on February 13th at 2 p.m. to discuss what we've learned in the interviews, and then have a meeting on February 21st at 9 a.m. to approve the contract that's been negotiated, hopefully by that time, with the final candidate.
And we want to see that before the meeting. In other words, but transmit the final.
Well,
before that meeting, so we don't have to do this like we did today.
The negotiations will be taking place between the, I guess the...
18th.
Well, it actually could take place beginning on February 13th. I don't know why they couldn't start at that point. So,
yeah, so
as soon as that one contract is ready, you'll direct your consultant to forward it to you immediately.
Yes, we want to see it. We don't want to come here on the 21st and see it for the first time. Just like trying to make sausage today.
Surprise.
Well, I'm sure glad we got this sausage made, because I can picture
us
sitting here the 1st of February going, well, what happened?
Thank you, Kathleen. That was very good. Good catch for you.
You're welcome.
All right. I thought you had something for the good of the order.
No.
Okay, Manny, you have something to say?
Yeah, the only thing I have is that I would like to next month discuss a possible contract as a consultant for Jim to serve for a transition period for to assist the new CEO. I spoke to our consultant Carl, and he thought that normally they do that. So to have someone with Jim's 30 years of experience to sort of to guide and serve as a mentor for a short time or for whatever period we think necessary. Right now, the CEO has the authorization from us to do that anyway. Jim could hire a consultant up to a certain amount of money. So I think that we should consider hiring Jimmy to use his expertise in a KUA to be with a certain period.
We can talk about it next month. I just want to put it on the table. Yes.
We could discuss it next month.
And if I may?
Certainly.
Personally, I think that conversation needs to be depends on those candidates that we're interviewing. because you might get a candidate that's already aware. So how can you explain that to the ratepayers of paying for something that is not needed? And this is why we're going through this process, to see who we're getting and who are the candidates, because we haven't seen them yet.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to put on some next meeting, because I have some things to say, too. Yeah. I want it on the agenda so that we have a chance to discuss it.
We could bring that, because,
I mean, it's a great idea, but let's look and see what we have in front of us.
Yeah, because no matter who comes on board, even if it's an internal or an external, no one's going to have the knowledge that Jim has of 38 years here.
That's true. Okay, well, we'll talk about that next meeting. Please put that on the agenda for us to talk about. I just have to say one thing. Happy New Year's to everybody. Thank you for input from our audience. We appreciate you coming here. We really do. We appreciate your questions, and it brings out maybe some things we needed to know also. So thank you for that. With that, our
one more. Hey, thank you for the calendar. I'm actually going to use this one. I get like 30 a year.
I
don't use them, but this one
select your new CEO.